You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. Arkansas baseball sweeps Xavier over the weekend. The Razorbacks have won five in a row, number six in the national polls. They've got Arkansas State coming in the midweek. They'll play Texas Arlington this weekend. We're going to talk about all of it today with Bubba Carpenter here in the studio. First, I want to tell you that today's baseball podcast is brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks. All right, Arkansas, big weekend, Bubba. I mean, think about the improbability of what we saw this weekend. Number one, you had the cycle by Cam Kozel on Saturday against Xavier, and they needed every one of those hits to be able to put Xavier away in that game. You almost had an immaculate inning in that game. And then yesterday, Colin Fisher nearly throws a perfect game. I mean, and it's not one of those where it builds up and, you know, you're on perfect game watch in the seventh, eighth inning. Xavier got its hit out of the way with one out in the second. But that's the only base runner they had the entire game. As Matt Hobbs told Fisher after the game, you know, if you get your butt out of the way, one of your middle infielders takes that ball, and who knows what happens. But an eight-inning one-hitter for him. And I thought, and I kind of had the similar thought, but hearing Hobbs say this on a video that was posted on Twitter kind of reinforced it. He said, "I've seen a no-hitter in Omaha by Gage Wood." He said, "I've seen 17 strikeouts at Globe Life Field by Hagen Smith against Oregon State." He said, "And then I've seen that." I mean, that tells you what that pitching performance was like by Fisher yesterday. Really one of the great pitching performances ever by a Razorback.
Yeah, when you hear Hobbs say that, it's pretty telling of how special that outing was. And I thought it was funny the way he said, you know, if you don't get your big butt out of the way, you know, Carson would have made that play up the middle, I think, had that ball got by him. But, you know, just a great outing. Just for a right-handed pitcher to have – or for a left-handed pitcher to make right-handed batters look that baffled, it's amazing. I mean, just his ability to change speeds – you know, mixes pitches really well. I thought Ryder called a great game. I asked him about that in the post game, and he said he didn't have to shake him the whole game. And that's incredible because it's almost like Ryder knew, okay, they're looking off speed here, and they'd sneak a fastball by him. Or he's looking fastball, they'd throw a changeup or breaking ball. It's just it was fun to watch. And, you know, in today's game of, you know, velo, guys running back and throwing it, it's so nice to watch a guy just pitch and absolutely carve up a lineup.
Okay, so I've got two thoughts about what you just said. Number one on the shaking, because there were a couple of times that Fisher was shaking Helfrich, but there are these fake shakes in baseball. Tell people about what that is.
Well, so what he'll do is he'll shake his head. That means the pitcher's supposed to shake, and that makes the hitter start thinking, okay, what's he shaking to? You know, and I joke around all the time. When one shake, I'm usually okay. If a pitcher shakes twice, I start to think. But if he shakes three times, back in the day, I was like, mind screwed. I was done. I was out. Because then I'm like, okay, wait. I'd have to call timeout or something and step out and be like, okay, what's going on here? But, yeah, they use that fake shake a lot. Because as a hitter, you start to think, okay, you know, he just came in right here with a fastball. He's going to go away soft, maybe a changeup away. And then you see the pitcher shake, and you're like, ooh, maybe he's going to double up inside. It just gives you that little bit of doubt, and it's a good weapon to have.
Helfrich said it was like playing MLB The Show with him yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. That's funny that he said that. But it's true. I mean, wherever Helfrich set up, he hit his spots. I mean, it was crazy. He didn't miss very many times, you know, and the thing is he's throwing 90-91, but that fastball into the righties has a little bit of late run on it, so he can start it at their front hip and kind of run it over that inside corner of the plate. And he had the batter, he had him jumping back out of the way, and he was just painting that inside corner. Then they would cheat in, he'd go change up away, and it almost looked, and this is no knock against Xavier, it almost looked too easy. Like he was in total control. They hit one ball hard. They hit a ball 95 to left field that Zach Stewart made a good play on. Other than that, I don't think there was a barrel, like another hard hit ball. And so that's pretty impressive.
Not a lot of balls left the infield.
So what if It'd have been, let's just say we go into the eighth, that ball does get by him. He's got a no-no, perfect game, you know, going into the ninth. He already had, what, 86 pitches?
Boy, mm-hmm. They're going to take him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to take him out. It's a different – that's exactly right. It's different when you're Gage Wood and it's hot and it's June and you're built back up after, you know, all the stuff that he went through last year, and it's February and it's cold and you're still building your pitch count. It would have been very frustrating for Fisher, but I think that that's what they probably would have done.
Yeah, because it's February. We're playing for June, you know, and so I think Colin would understand that. I think the fans would, everyone would understand it. That's the right move.
Okay, so the second point I wanted to make off what you said earlier about the velocity, a lot of people are going to look at Colin Fisher and say, well, he's been Arkansas's best starter so far. Why don't you think about moving him up in the rotation? But tell me what you think about this. I actually think him as a Sunday starter is a little bit of a weapon for Arkansas, because if you're the other team, let's say Xavier this week, you see Gabe Gackle and you see Cole Gibler and you see Hunter Dietz and you see, to a lesser extent, Steele Eaves and Parker Coyle on Saturday. A lot of guys who can really run it up there, 95, 97, 98. And then, you know, so like 2 days you've been seeing this in your head. That's what you're kind of become accustomed to. And now here comes Colin Fisher, who's throwing 90, 92 with a real good curveball and a real good changeup. And I almost feel like that has a little bit of a – like that can mess with a team and maybe get them out of their rhythm for two or three innings.
It really can. It's a totally different look. And you know, to the flip side of that, you look at Xavier. They threw, I think, Peach's name on Friday, that Nobi on Saturday, and then the righty yesterday. They kind of morph into the same guy. They're really kind of the same. All three are righty, similar stuff, a little bit of carry, fastball, slider, change guys, a little bit of depth on the change. So they're almost identical. And you can see we were way more comfortable as the weekend went along. And so to your point, I mean, it's a great point when you see that and then you go to Colin Fisher on Sunday. It's frustrating. And I called it last week frustrating at bat. It's a comfortable 0-for-4. Because you go up there and you see the ball and you're like, okay, you know, he got me out on a fastball last time, I'm going to be ready for a fastball. He got me out for a breaking ball last time, so I'm ready for a breaking ball. He throws the fastball by you. It's just a comfortable 0-for-4 where you go back to the dugout scratching your head like, you know, what do you do?
You know, my Colin Fisher comp is, and I haven't totally thought this through, but I think I'm on the right track. Dallas Keuchel.
Okay, so I said that last year.
Okay,
I've said that in the past that it's similar,
but because it's not overwhelming stuff. And Dallas, like, what made him such an effective pitcher was his ability to locate his pitches. Going back to the video game component, there's actually a real good story about him about how he used to play video games and how that kind of taught him how to mix his pitches at a young age. And then he took that and was able to carry it with him into his playing career.
Yeah, makes sense. Are you good at MLB The Show?
I'm not going to say I've never played it, but I don't know that I've ever played a full game. It's one of those things where, you know, it might be on when the kids are playing it and you grab the control for 10 minutes or something and then move on about your day.
I can't hit. My kid can pitch to me, and I cannot hit. I don't know. And then he lights me up, so I'm not very good at it. So, but yeah, it's a good comparison. You know, he's on the far third base side of the rubber. What I like is when he throws, he'll throw that fastball right at the righty, break on the front, right in the front door of the plate, and then he'll clip the outside corner with that changeup, just like Keuchel. Keuchel's the same way.
And it seemed like, and this is what good pitchers do, and again, the difference between a pitcher and a thrower, his misses look intentional. So like yesterday, you know, a lot of his strikeouts came on 0-2, 1-2 counts. He's not throwing a whole lot of pitches outside the zone. But, you know, there was a point, I can't remember who the batter was. It was a right-handed batter. He gets ahead 0-2, throws, I think, the changeup, you know, just a little kind of low and away from the right-hander. But you could tell whenever he threw it, it was like that's where you could just read the body language.
Right.
That's where he wanted that pitch. He wanted to see if he was going to chase it. Then he comes back and throws him, you know, a curveball or something in the zone, gets him to swing at it, and he's gone. But again, it goes back to his ability to really pinpoint. And I think he's been as good as anybody this year at least on the Arkansas staff doing that.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, hopefully he can keep it going. I mean, it's and the thing about him, you can't pattern him. Like a lot of guys, you can pattern, you know, to a certain extent. Like they have tendencies, you know, 1-2 count, runner at third base, this is what he's going to throw. Or, you know, certain situations, there's an 80% chance this is the pitch you're going to get, or 86%. With Colin, there's no real – you can't pattern him because he'll throw any pitch at any time, and he can throw it where he wants, and that's dangerous right there.
What about Camden – by the way, Colin Fisher, SEC Pitcher of the Week this week, and – yeah, it's early, and there's a lot of they're all non-conference games, so there's a lot of potential there for players to feast statistically this time of year. But Fisher, he gets the pitcher of the week. Player of the week went to a Vanderbilt player, and I thought that was kind of interesting because, of course, Kozel had his big game, and he had a big week. Texas had a center fielder who hit for the cycle on Saturday as well. But going to Kozel and his cycle, first off, it's the third cycle at Arkansas since 2021. Before Robert Moore hit his cycle, do you remember when the last one was? Robert Moore hit one in 21 against UCA. Then the next year, UCA comes here, and Dylan Leach hits the cycle. And he homered from both sides of the plate, which was kind of interesting. And then Kozel the other day. But before Moore in 21.
I have no idea who that was.
It was Kyle Harris in 1994 against Tennessee. So they had gone, what would that be, 27 years between cycles. And now they've had three in a little under 5 years, three in six seasons.
It's crazy. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially at Baum Walker. It's hard to get that triple.
Why?
It's hard to get a triple at Baum. Yeah. I mean, you got to hit it in the right spot, and you got to hope the outfielder kind of misplays it.
And that's kind of what
left fielder kind of scuffled on that ball. I honestly don't know what the left fielder was doing on the ball that Kozel hit. I mean, I'm glad he misplayed it, but he looked lost. It's almost like he was waiting for the center fielder to catch it, or he just lost. I don't know. He looked lost on that play. But to credit Cam, he was flying around the bases. You know, he was thinking triple all the way. So that's good. It's good to see, but. I was doing the game with Brett Dolan that day, and Brett said, you know, he'd already hit the home run. He goes, well, now he's got the triple out of the way. He's halfway to the cycle. He's got the hardest one out of the way. He said something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you think about it. As soon as you see a guy get that triple, you're like, ooh, maybe the cycle today, you know. You don't think that when he hits a home run, but when you hit a triple early in the game, you're like, wow, he might get the cycle.
Well, that's what Dave Van Horn said afterward. I asked him, I said, you know, is there any kind of denominator in a game where a guy hits a cycle, is there anything you see out of him? He just goes, yeah, you got to hit a triple.
Yeah,
he said it's the hardest hit in baseball.
I had a chance for a cycle. I needed a double last at bat. It was a ninth inning, one out, and I hit a ball in the left center gap, just like Cam's, except the left fielder dove for it and got by him and went to the wall, and so I ended up going to third. So I didn't get the triple. I didn't get the cycle.
Oh,
but I got two triples.
Oh, so that's pretty hard to do, too.
Yeah.
And look, I actually thought it was weird because lost in the fact that he got the cycle, they needed that hit because it was a 6-6 game in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Then Cujillo Aloy comes up, and it's a two-out hit. Aloy comes up behind him, you know, pokes a 2-2 pitch out into left field, and Kozel scores, and they win. I thought when Souza came up, you know, he had a couple of extra base hits in the first game, and then he had had multiple hits in the weekend where he went the other way with the ball, including one of the doubles on Friday. And the left fielder and the center fielder were playing, like they left a huge gap out there in left center. And I thought maybe Souza can put it down there. Well, he didn't, but then Kozel came up and he was able to put it right there where they weren't.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, the Cujillo comes up and the outfielders are playing deep. And I said something about it on the air. I said, you know, man, they're really deep right here. They're leaving a lot of space. And then
– is that because of the wind this weekend?
Yeah, it was because of the wind, and plus you got Cujillo up. But, I mean, left fielder was almost on the track. And I get it. You don't want to hit a ball over your head, but a blooper in front of you, game over. And I thought with two strikes, I looked at him, and I thought, well, okay, now he's going to come in with two strikes because of soft contact. And he stayed deep. And I'm one of those, if they're going to hit they're going to hit nine in front of you there, and they're going to hit one over your head with two strikes. I'll give them the one over my head. I want to catch those nine in front of me. Now, I get it. It's a lot of people play that different, but I'm not going to let him bloop one in front of me. If he's going to hit it, I'm going to make him earn it right there. If he's going to win the game and hit it over my head. I just thought he should have moved down. I thought he was too deep for two strikes. But credit Cahill, he did a good job. That was his breaking ball away. He had just missed one up and in. He took a giant hack at it. And with two strikes, he just kind of stayed through the zone, poked it out in the left field.
It was a good hit. And their two hit, their two out hitting, I felt like, got better as the weekend goes on. I want to say more about that here in a second. First, I want to tell you about Southern Loft. They believe in your home, that it should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they have just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville or call 479-856-6100. The two-out hitting, 10 for 17 yesterday against Xavier. And that's been an issue for this team, has been, you know, getting the timely hit in a lot of these games. And I just thought it looked a lot better yesterday and even late Saturday. I mean, you just mentioned it. Cahill always hit. It came with two outs.
Two out hitting, two out, two strike RBIs are daggers to that pitcher, to the other team. And I thought we did a good job battling, fouling off some pitches. And that's what you got to do. I mean, you got to be able to – some guys have a knack for shortening up just a little bit, back in contact up a little bit, flipping the field, so to say, and fighting off pitchers' pitches until you get your pitch. There's a knack to it. And, you know, you're not going to – we talked last week. Without getting into it, I use one through seven. So, for me, a seven, one is inside corner, seven's outside corner. All right? So, if a pitcher throws me a seven down and away, maybe a seven and a half, maybe even an eight, you know, depending on the umpire, they were getting, there was a wide zone yesterday at times. You're not going to hammer that ball. You can't try to hit that ball over the batter's eye, and you got to just foul it off. Just do the best you can to stay alive, and then he'll flip a breaking ball up there and leave it over the middle of the plate, and he'll hammer it. I think there's a knack to that. Some guys are good at it. Some guys need to get better at it. But the good ones, they're hard to pitch to.
Didn't it feel like the offense got better this weekend? Like, Van Horn was really frustrated with what happened Friday, and part of that's the pitcher. I mean, I think Piche is he's a good pitcher. I think he's going to have a lot of success in their conference this year. Maybe against some of these bigger teams they play, too. I mean, they've still got – we talked about their schedule last week. They got kind of a murderer's row schedule over the next few weeks. But, you know, they had 13 hits on Saturday. Yesterday, I think it was 14 hits. And again, it just, it felt like they just, the at-bats looked more comfortable. And maybe that's the pitcher. Maybe that's something going on with the hitters. I don't know. But I think about Zach Stewart's at-bat. And, you know, he finally gets a chance to play yesterday. And what was that, an 11-pitch at-bat? He hits a home run. Now, he got a little bit of luck in there because third baseman misplayed a couple of those balls yesterday. But allowed the at-bat to continue. But, you know, Stewart, give him credit because he fouled off a lot of pitches and finally got the one that he could hit. And it felt like that was kind of symbolic of the offense as a whole yesterday.
Well, I think – I didn't talk to Dave about it, but my frustration with the Friday game is we didn't make an adjustment. Early on in the game, and you know, I don't know if you were paying attention to it or not, Peach was more of a fastball slider guy. He was – and their speeds are similar. And then he kind of dropped the slider and went more to a slower breaking ball. Or maybe he changed his grip. I don't know. He did something. But it went from more of a slider profile that was a little bit faster to a slower breaking ball. And that made his fastball play faster, especially up in the zone. And then we were kind of caught in between. We got locked up on some fastballs. We chased some fastballs up here. But I think just by him mixing in that slower breaking ball, it kind of confused the hitters, and we never really made an adjustment. And for me, that's the frustrating part. But I thought we did a better job the next day against Nobi. Did I say that name right?
I think so.
Yeah. Nobi, I thought he had similar stuff. I thought we did a better job against him. And you know, look, they threw some pretty good guys at us. I mean, they really did. They've got – I think they're going to end up winning a lot of games.
What about that guy from Rogers?
Yeah, Cronister.
Had you seen him before?
Yeah, he used to come to the facility when he was younger, and he was always, like, super tall. When he was
it's like 12, 6'8", 13,
6'8", yeah, he now, was already 6'2".
Yeah.
But he never threw hard. You know, he was more of a – like just like he pitched against us, more of a control guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy to see him, and I'm sure his mom and dad were real happy to see him out there on the field.
I saw his mom. Now, you know, his mom's a U of A All-America volleyball player, part of the UA Hall of Honor.
Like, mm-hmm.
His dad was on – I think was a member of the basketball team for a year. He's got a brother who's going to Missouri to play basketball. I mean, this is a freaky athletic family. But I saw his mom. I walked in behind her on Friday, and she had a shirt on. It said, Xavier Mom, Hall of Fame Razorback fan. It was kind of – you could tell it was kind of a weird, you know, unique weekend for them.
Did you ask her about it?
I did not. No, Tom Murphy did go down and talk to Ashton a little bit, though, after one of the games. And, you know, I think he asked him something like, you know, were you upset that Arkansas didn't recruit you more? He's like, I wouldn't have recruited me either. I was throwing like 80 miles an hour. So he got an opportunity to go to Xavier, and he's done the most with it.
Happy for him. Really happy. You know, I'm happy for any Northwest Arkansas kid, any Arkansas kid. He gets a chance to go to play college baseball. But, yeah, I was happy for him. I'm glad he got out there on the mound, and he did well. He did really well.
That's 2 weeks into the row. Arkansas's played a team that's had – a kid from one of the Northwest Arkansas high schools. Texas Tech had a pitcher from Bentonville West the Sunday previously.
Yeah.
So just kind of an interesting deal. Who's the best hitter right now on Arkansas's lineup? Kind of a loaded question.
Do you mean if I'm a pitcher, who do I at least want to face, or just me sitting in my little spot in the booth, who do I think the best
hitter? I guess both.
If I'm a pitcher, Cahill's a guy I would fear – just because he's so imposing. There's just something about him. You know, he's only struck out twice this year, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But you make a mistake, he's going to hurt you. Helfrich's another one that, you know, it's tough to pitch to because just bat speed is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a mistake, he's going to hammer you. But I think if the game's on the line, the one guy I'd want it to play right now for me as a coach would be Cam Kozel.
Because he's done it twice.
Or Camden. I think he's got the ability to just slow it down. And we talked about, is there a such thing as a clutch player? Look at his face. I mean, just look at his body language. Game on the line. It's just 0-2 count against Tech. Just the walk in the park. It's like he's out there taking Sunday afternoon BP.
Hmm.
But I loved what he said to me. And I've been having fun with it, and I think I'm driving my kid crazy, Dalton. But so I asked him. I said, "How'd you feel that last at bat?" I said, first of all, I didn't think they were going to pitch to you. I thought with first base open, even in that situation, I thought they were going to take a chance pitching to Cahill and put you on just because you were, you know, the way you've been swinging it. Because they missed really bad with a few pitches. They get 3-1, they threw him a fastball down and away. And I said, you know, he drove it to left field. And I said, how'd you feel right there? And he goes, I feel dangerous. And so I've been using that all week. Yesterday with Chuck, I'm like, hey, Chuck, you feeling dangerous over there? And Chuck, he's like, what?
That's cool having Chuck Barrett in the booth yesterday, too.
Yeah, it was cool.
I listened to him. Yeah. I listened to you guys for a couple, 3 innings.
Yeah, Chuck does a good job. I mean, you know, and he said when he sat down and looked out at the field, he said it's like he never left a chair.
That's what he told me beforehand. He said, you know, it's the same vantage point that I had on opening day in 1996 here. And Phil does a really good job, too. Chuck, though, I mean, he was the voice for 23 years of Razorback baseball. And it was during an era, you know, the thing about Phil, whenever he came in, that's during the SEC Network Plus era where you can watch all the games.
Right.
With Chuck, you might only get 5 games on TV. You may not even get all the games on the radio. That's what people forget about whenever he was calling the games early. Like, the network only would carry maybe 30 games of the 50. And so, I don't know, when Chuck comes in and calls the games – and I told him this yesterday. I said it would be kind of like if Ernie Harwell came back after being out of the booth for the Detroit Tigers for 12 years. And you get – and Chuck's going to call 2 more games this week.
Yeah.
You know, you get 2 or 3 games a year where you get to listen to Ernie Harwell come out of retirement and call a game. That's, I think, how a lot of people feel about, you know, getting to listen to Chuck call the games.
I think so. I think – The thing that sucks, though, is I'm a creature of habit, so I called him Phil twice.
Yeah.
I called him Phil in the first inning. Now, I was preoccupied. TrackMan wasn't working, so I was a little bit preoccupied. I messed with it, and something happened, and I just, out of habit, I said Phil. So I ended up calling him Phil twice. So, Chuck, if you're watching, which I doubt if he is, I apologize. I already told him. I said, just don't call me Zim.
Call you Rick. I looked over there a little bit. You didn't have your window open yesterday.
Okay, that's another thing. That's out of respect for Chuck. That's the first game I've ever done without the window open.
Okay.
I'm a window open guy. With the window closed, I do not feel like I'm in the game. But I asked Chuck before. I knew he was a window down guy. So, you know, mm-hmm. he's been doing it for a long time. So I let him call the show right there. But yeah, it was totally, to me, it's different because I want to hear the pitch go into the zone. I love the sound of the ball off the bat. You can tell the sound of the ball off the bat whether it's going to hit the hog pen or not. I mean, a well-struck ball makes a different sound. A catcher catching a ball the right way makes a different sound. I love all the sounds of the ballpark. And, we have the crowd mic, but it's still different. But yeah, it was cold yesterday, and so Chuck wanted it closed. So Chuck's a man.
Bottom third of the lineup. Now, there's been some tinkering with that. For instance, Zach Stewart was in the lineup yesterday. Part of that was because Damian Ruiz is out with a little bit of a calf injury, and they don't want to overextend him, especially with it being cold. But especially Pompey and Brumbaugh, those are two batters that they got to really get going. They've moved Mike Anew up and down the lineup. There have been some games where he's been down there. It just seems like that's a real hole right now, 7 through 9, that's got to find more production. What are you seeing from those hitters? And like Brumbaugh, we saw him in the fall. He was their best. I'm not going to say he was their best hitter because Ryder Helfrich was their best hitter. But Brumbaugh, I think a lot of times, he was maybe the second best hitter on the team in the fall. So we've seen him be able to hit high-quality pitching. It's just it hasn't been there for him since he came back from break, it feels like. What are you seeing from those hitters down at the bottom?
First of all, I do want to say something about Micah yesterday. He pops that ball up to the catcher. You know, he's been scuffing a little bit. And he sprinted to second base. Mm-hmm. Or not to the catcher. Well, it was the catcher originally was going to catch it, and then the third baseman called him off, and he whiffed on it. But I love the fact that he didn't throw his bat down and jog down the first baseline. He ran.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that goes a long way with me. That goes a long way. Now,
that's the difference between pro ball and college ball, feel like.
I said that to Chuck yesterday. I said, that's why I can't watch – it's hard to watch Major League Baseball anymore because that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
In pro ball, that dude would have popped it up, thrown his bat, jogged down the line. Hell, maybe got thrown out
first. He may have just veered off and gone back to the dugout.
I mean, I hate it. Hate it. But to see guys, I love hustle. Mm-hmm. Hustle never slumps. I know it's something that's, you know, people say all the time, but I love that. And to me, it says a lot about a guy that's been struggling a little bit. Now, if you ask me about the swings, in my opinion, and look, I break down swings all the time. I mean, guys send me videos and you know, even guys that are in pro ball, they send me videos. I train a lot at my facility. I love the art of hitting a baseball. When I watch Micah, he's real fast twitch. Now, I don't care everything he does before the pitch, but even as the pitch is coming, there's some movement that's real quick. It's kind of a jerky. His front foot, kind of the stride, kind of goes out and then around.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a la, Aaron Judge, except Judge does it slow. He does it. It's a fast move. And I just think when you're moving fast like that, everything speeds up. And hitting's all about slowing the game down.
Hmm.
You know, you can hit 120 if you slow everything down, relax your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I do it at my place. We hit a ball, move up, hit a ball, move up, and we see how close we get to the machine. But, sorry, get sidetracked. But I think on Micah, it's just – I think he's – everything is moving so fast, and it's making him swing at pitches out of the zone. There were multiple at-bats yesterday where if he doesn't swing at a pitch, he might end up with a 3-1 count. Then he gets a pitch to drive, but he'll swing at a 2-1 pitch that probably isn't a good pitch or maybe a 1-0 pitch out of the zone, and then it kind of flips the count a little bit. And I that's what I see with Micah, but I see a guy with unbelievable bat speed, strength, power, all the tools. I think he's going to figure it out. Pompey looks a little bit caught in between to me. It looks like Pompey and Brumbaugh are a little caught in between. They're late on fastballs. Mm-hmm. And then human nature is, I'm late, I got to speed up. And then they speed up on the off speed and they pull off of it. I think they're both going to hit, though. I've watched them. I know they can both hit. And I think it's hard. I don't know if they're hunting hits. And you and I have talked about this before. You know, even last week I mentioned going 10 at-bats at a time. If you're struggling, don't look at the scoreboard and say, oh, I'm, you know, I'm 2 for 26. You're 0 for 0. Start over. Go 10 at-bats at a time. And if you go 9 for 10, you're not hitting 900. You're zero again. Every 10 at-bats, you started over. It takes pressure off of you. Then you're not out there hunting hits. You're just hunting quality at-bats. Quality at-bats leads to the hits. The hits will be there. And don't be afraid to take a walk. People don't want to walk when they're struggling, Matt, because it doesn't help the average. And I've been there. I was a notorious slow starter. It's hard to look at the scoreboard and see 120. It really is. And you want to help your team, and you also want to help yourself. And the key is to just slow everything down and just take it. And here's another cliche that I hate to say, take it one game at a time, one pitch at a time. For me, it's about winning pitches. You start out, it's, I'm going to win this pitch. If you chase one, or if you take a strike that you should have hit, who cares? Step out, you're going to win that next pitch. You start winning pitches, you start winning at bats, and then game slows down, and next thing you know, you're raking.
You know what they need to do for the players who are struggling? They need to, like, let's say Pompey. He needs to go to the scoreboard operator and, like, you know, can you just, like, replace the, you know, whatever, the 228, like a smiley face emoji. Yeah. Just put that up while I come up to bat for a little while. Something that's going to make him take his mind off of it.
We played, and I don't want to bore you with a long story, but we played a businessman special in Indianapolis. It was the Reds AAA. I think it was the Reds AAA back in the day. I don't know, it was someone's AAA. But Indianapolis, it was 11 a.m. game. No one's in the crowd. It's early in the year. It's freezing. And there's one big lady sitting up in a box. And I was hitting like one something at the time. And she ragged me the whole game and was in my head. Unbelievable. But you know what happened? I fouled a pitch off that went up in the booth and hit her in the face. What's the odds of that? I probably shouldn't have told that story here. But that's like a million to one.
Yeah.
And the catcher and the umpire even asked me, did you hit her? Is that the one that's been giving you hard? I said, I think so. Got quiet after that, so I must have hit her. But anyway, that just goes to show you how when you think about it and you try not to, and these guys are studs. They wouldn't be here. They can hit, and they're going to hit. It's just, you know, it's a mental game.
I want to tell you, that's funny.
I'm sorry.
Like, I wonder what's more improbable, you hitting a woman who's heckling you with a foul ball or the cycle and perfect game. Or we didn't have a perfect game, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that's tough. Well, I don't know. I would have loved what I would rather see.
I read something this week that had the immaculate inning happened. It was like only once every 900,000 games could you have an immaculate inning and a cycle in the same game. So, like, can you only once in 900,000 games hit a heckler with a foul ball?
I need to ask AI what's the odds of that and see if they can calculate that for me.
Get back to me on that. I want to tell you that our baseball podcast is sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for three generations. They've built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way, and that kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident. H&R Tire and Auto. I thought the bullpen pitched really well this weekend. I mean, you think about, they didn't need a bullpen yesterday. But on Friday, Cole Gibler came out of the bullpen, four-inning save. And then on Saturday, you realize Parker Coyle and Steele Eaves, between the two of them, threw 55 pitches, and they threw 48 strikes. Now, I know two of those strikes were solo home runs against Coyle, but he pitched really well up until that point. And then I thought Steele Eaves looked good again.
Yeah, I thought Steele looked really good. I thought both of them looked good, and Gibler was good again. And boy, you watch Gibler pitch, and you know, if you're someone that really, you know, you don't understand the game, you'd be like, well, he is so good. Why isn't he starting? Mm-hmm. But him being in that bullpen is so valuable. I think you just got to have him. Now, at some point, will he end up starting? Who knows? but he's so valuable down there. And then having a weapon like a Parker Coyle that can come in and just pound the strike zone. He's a lot like a Colin Fisher. You know, he could start and do well. And then you see Steele. Steele's just a tough kid. First pitch he threw was 96, by the way. So that velo's coming up. And yeah. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad because, you know, when the velo goes up, you tend the ball straightens out a little bit. So you don't want to lose that sink that he's got. But he's looked really good. Sinker, slider. Slider looked good. He made some really good pitches. So excited about that. And think of the guys that are down there, Matt, that we didn't even use this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I even said in yesterday's game, as much as I wanted Cahill to hit a bomb right there, I said I kind of hope Cahill doesn't because I want to see Lorenzini pitch.
Yeah, that guy still hasn't gotten to get into a game yet.
Yeah. And then at one point, Cooper Dossett got up. I thought Coop might come in. I would love to see Cooper. I can't wait to see Cooper go back out there. I know he's dying to get back out on the bump.
You know, this is the first five-game week of the season, first double midweek. They'll play Arkansas State on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's a good opportunity to get a lot of those guys into the game. Like, we're going to see, I think, pretty much everybody that we haven't seen who's going to factor into this pitching staff at some point over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think so. I think tomorrow you'll see I think you'll see Dossett tomorrow. You'll see a few of those guys. Hopefully, Lorenzini will get a chance tomorrow. So I think you'll see. Who do you think will start Wednesday? You think they'll go with Tate, McGuire?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, McGuire was so good out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Down in Arlington, do you really want to fire that bullet on Wednesday? But you know, they've sometimes I feel like they treat those midweek games or outings as kind of a bullpen. So yeah, let's say he's got a 40-pitch bullpen in the middle of the week, well, maybe you just, you know, you go out and you throw your 40 pitches on the mound against somebody
right
on Wednesday. I don't know. I'll be interested to see. I know they're going to throw Peyton Lee on Tuesday. I think he's got the potential to settle into that Tuesday spot
right
if he pitches well. And, I mean, I haven't seen anything that would suggest otherwise. Arkansas State's going to throw a right-hander named Andrew Allen during this game tomorrow afternoon. Almost said tomorrow night. We're still not playing night games because it's too cold. It'll be pretty cool again tomorrow, and then I think Wednesday is supposed to be nice baseball weather.
Yeah, it'll warm up a little. I think it's in the 60s tomorrow, but like wind's going to be blowing. I think it's moving out of the south tomorrow, though, so not a good day to be a hitter.
And it's supposed to be cold when we wake up tomorrow.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, with the wind blowing out all weekend, it's a good time to be a hitter. And I asked Colin Fisher that. I was surprised with his answer. I asked him, I said, you know, As a hitter, we love to feel the wind on the back of our neck when we step up to the plate. It just makes us feel a little bit yellow. We like that feeling. I said, as a pitcher, do you – when you're pitching into the wind, do you think about that? Like a guy like you, does it make your ball – do you get a little bit more sink on your sinker? You get a little bit more bite on your breaking ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does the changeup have a little more depth? And he said, honestly, he said, I've never really thought about that.
Hmm.
Which I thought was kind of crazy. Cause
you know where that guy grew up, though? He grew up in Oklahoma.
Oh, he's used to pitching in the wind.
Throwing into a 50-mile wind gust during a high school game.
That's a question. I want to ask Matt Hobbs that. I probably drive Matt crazy. I love Matt Hobbs, but I ask him. I'm always asking him these questions because I'm a little bit on the psycho side, so stuff gets in my head and until I get an answer for it. I'm a why guy, Matt. I got to know why. And so, yeah.
So Arkansas State team looks – like they're better. You know, Mike Silva's come in there. He was at Nichols previously. This is year two. I thought they looked a lot more competitive when they played Arkansas last year than A-State had the year or two before that when they've come up here. They got a couple of pretty good hitters, all-conference type hitters in their lineup. They're scoring a lot of runs. And I tell you, the score that is most interesting to me, I can't remember what they did first weekend. They did beat Eastern Illinois over this last weekend, lost the first game, came back, scored a lot of runs the last two games and won the series. But last Tuesday, they went to Oxford. They were up 6-3 on Ole Miss in the fifth inning, and then Ole Miss just kind of nickels and dimes its way back into the game, you know, run this inning. I think they had like one run in four of the last five innings, and they end up walking off Arkansas State. 7-6 was the final score. But, I mean, so they've seen it.
Right.
They've seen SEC stuff. I don't think anything they're going to see tomorrow is going to surprise them. It's just a matter of, you know, how can they actually handle – like their coach told me today, he said, Arkansas is going to expose every weakness you have How are you going to react to that?
Boy, I wish they'd have pulled that game out. It'd have been good for them to beat Ole Miss. Didn't UCA beat Ole Miss last year, right? Was that
they beat them last year? I remember them beating them.
Yeah,
I think Chris Curry's team has actually gone down there and beaten them a time or two as well.
They're going to quit scheduling Arkansas.
Ole Miss is undefeated right now, by the way. They're in the poll this week.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to worry about them. But yeah, you're right. They're going to come up here and you know, I haven't looked at the roster yet to see if they're an older team. Yeah, I know they brought in a bunch of guys last year. I would assume they did the same this year. So it'll be a fun game. So
they do have some older players on their team, including Patrick Inkscove, who have you seen him in travel ball before? He's from Little Rock. His dad's John Inkscove.
I know
the
name.
'94 National Championship game.
Yeah. I know the name.
Yeah.
So
I think this is he was at OU originally, and now he's at A-State. This is at least his second year there. He came up here during that series last year, but he's one of their better hitters. I think I can't remember the exact number, but he's batting in the high 300s, somewhere in like the 370, 380 range. And they've got another one who's hitting in the over 400 right now. So they've got some guys that can really hit in that lineup.
Isn't it amazing how the Tuesday games have changed? Your midweek games before, like when I first started doing radio, I felt like Tuesday games were like, oh, here we go. It's going to be a long one. We're going to kill somebody. You know, with the shortened draft and with everything that's gone, the changes in college sports and college baseball,
yeah.
I mean, everyone's got good players. There's good players all over the country. It doesn't matter where you're playing at.
But also some of it, I think, well, two things. Number one, Arkansas State, they went out and they got better. They've made a commitment to baseball. Right. Arkansas is going to play Arkansas State every year. Just proximity, ease of scheduling for both of those teams. But the other thing is, remember Arkansas, they had that 22 season – when they had a record host, but their midweek games were not good. I mean, they played way too many. The Arkansas teams that year weren't good.
Right.
Like they played Grambling like two times. They might have played another team from the SWAC a couple of times. Killed the RPI, and, you know, they end up having to go. Now, it worked out, I think, for the best for that team because they really bonded once they got to Stillwater and Chapel Hill, and they made that run in Omaha. But I think that that's part of it, too, is that it's a combination of Arkansas State's better, but I think Arkansas, they know they've got to challenge themselves now in these Tuesday games. There's some good teams coming in here this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't look at it that way, but you're right. I mean, definitely the midweek schedule's gotten better.
Yeah. Because, a lot of times that can be the difference between if you're one of those teams right there in that 14 to 19 range, that midweek game or the midweek schedule – that might be the difference if you're 14 through 16 or you're 17 through 19 and having to go out as the number two somewhere.
Well, what I hate about that is when you get late in the year, you get teams canceling those games because they don't want to play them. They're afraid it's going to hurt their RPI.
Yeah. Arkansas State did that a couple of years ago, I think, or did Ole Miss do that with Arkansas State?
I think Ole Miss did it. I don't think Arkansas State
was going to the tournament. Ole Miss did it to Arkansas State. I just remember them being involved in one of those. Before we get out of here, I wanted to ask you about what you thought about Gabe Gackle and Hunter Dietz this weekend.
First of all, Gackle was Gackle. He was good. The pitch I love that Gackle throws is that changeup. I don't know if you call it a power change, whatever. It's 88, 90 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Those at the lefties, great arm action. It has the action of like a two-seam fastball. Such a good weapon against lefties. But then when you look at Dietz, I thought he was incredible. That cutter, really good. Yeah. He didn't really spot his fastball, but I thought he could go to that cutter at any time, and hitters they didn't have an answer for it. And as the game went on, it looked like he started getting off to the side of it a little bit more, and it almost morphed into a slider. And that's something else. On the pitch chart, it doesn't show that. I want to ask Hunter about that, or Matt, either one, and see what that pitch was. He started throwing a pitch 83, 84 that was similar to the cutter, but it had more depth. It played more like a slider. So I didn't know if that was something he was doing on purpose. But early in the game, he's throwing that thing 87, 88 miles an hour, and it was unhittable.
They couldn't. They were swinging and missing at everything.
Yeah.
And he was locating it in the zone. And I feel like that's the – I asked him afterward because the fastball wasn't great. It wasn't that the velocity wasn't good. The velocity was fine. But he wasn't spotting it well. Like he hit a guy with a fastball and then he left some up. And when they hit him, I think it was fastballs, you know, kind of chest high and they were doing some damage with it. I'm not worried about him at all. I thought that was a really good bounce back performance for him. you know, you saw the off-speed stuff. Like, the fastball is going to be there.
Right.
Most games for him. The off-speed stuff. If he can continue to do that, and then if he's got the fastball to play off of it, I think he's going to be just fine. Defense let him down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you think about back-to-back plays, if Cahillo doesn't overthrow the plate, that guy doesn't go from first to second. So even when Kozel makes the error, that's a one-run error instead of a two-run error. And so I think it was a little bit of a tough luck for him there. I think people will look at his stats and say, oh, well, he gave up however many runs. I know two of them were unearned, but I thought he pitched better than maybe the stats would have would suggest if you're just kind of glancing at the box score and didn't watch the game.
Yeah, and I thought he threw a couple good curveballs as well. That was the pitch he didn't have at Globe Life.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't land. He was getting underneath the curveball, but I thought curveball looked good. If he can spot that fastball, he's got some carry on it. If he can spot that fastball at the top of the zone, come back with the breaking ball or the cutter, that's – man, he's going to be really good.
Real quick on defense. The defense wasn't real crisp for at least one, maybe a game and a half this weekend. Then it seemed like it got a lot better over the back half of Saturday, and it looked fine yesterday. I thought Zach Stewart made a really nice play in left. You think about on Saturday, was it Turner made a really good play in the field? And then Carson Brumbaugh in the next at bat made a good play at short. So I don't worry about defense with this team. I think that Van Horn, first off, you're just not going to play if you don't play defense. And so I think defensively they're going to be fine. It's just, to me, it's early, and you see some mistakes like this early.
Well, you see Turner come in. That was a great play. He came in. He came a long way to get that ball. That was huge there. And then next hitter, Brumbaugh up the middle, and he showed off his arm.
Yeah.
And he showed off that arm slot from down here. You know, and we were talking about hitters earlier. As long as Carson's playing good defense like that, he's going to be fine. He's going to get his hits, but he's made every play. He's made backhand. He's made plays up the middle. He's come across the bag, turning two. He's done everything you could ask of a shortstop.
I remember Van Horn saying something in the preseason. Said, you know, he's not hitting it real well right now. He's frustrated. He said, but we're not worried about that. We're worried about the defense, and everything else will come along just fine. It's defense first. And I don't think it would matter if it's a freshman or if it's a senior. At shortstop, you're going to play somebody who can play defense. And it's, you know, if you can get a Vahiva Aloy, you'll take it.
Yeah.
But it's defense first position.
Look, that kid's going to be a stud. I think Carson Brumbaugh is going to play in the big leagues.
I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I like him. He'll figure it out. I mean, you're talking a freshman now, and the errors, the ball to Kozel, kind of a fluke play. It had some topspin on it. Honestly, I think Kozel thought it was hit harder, so he kind of froze. And then at the last minute, he did the right thing. He tried to keep in front, just kicked off to the side. But you know, I really think off the bat, he thought that was going to either be a line drive or maybe just a short hop. But it ended up having a little hump in it. I want to say it was 88, 90 miles an hour. And so that's kind of a fluky play. It's kind of like the other one that was cued off the end of the bat that he got an error for.
Because it was the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, almost wondered if he was thinking about that one from the day before, because it did. It looked like the ball kind of came off the bat in a similar way. The second day, it's just – it landed a lot further in front of him.
Yeah. Those are both weird plays. Now, the throw from Cahillo and Wright, that's a one-hopper to your right fielder. And you know, I spent a lot of time in right field. That's a dream for a right fielder to get a one-hopper right here where you got momentum and you can just cut it loose. I think he just overthrew that ball.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen a radar gun on it. He just overthrew it. And he kind of pulled it up the line a little bit. But that's a right fielder trying to just freaking hose somebody. And I'll excuse that one too.
He's got the arm.
Yeah.
Nobody doubts the strength. That's the accuracy, I think, has got to continue to – and that's part of getting reps, I think, in right field, right? I mean, it's a position he hadn't played a whole lot.
And look, Pompey made a couple good plays coming in across. There was one he had to go way to his left, open up and throw.
Yep.
Got a fast runner. There was another one he came in, made a good read on it, a good first step read on a chopper. So he's made a couple good plays. And then the catch over his shoulder.
Yes.
Going back over his shoulder.
Yep.
Unbelievable catch.
Saved a run.
Yeah. That
maybe two.
Yeah. that right there could have changed things. That was early in the game. It was first inning, was it? It was early. I don't know.
Yeah, this is good play.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Good seeing you. Bubba will be back here in studio on Thursday. We'll look over the Arkansas State Series then, and we'll look ahead to this weekend's series against UT Arlington at Baum Walker Stadium. Once again, we want to tell you, our baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're proudly family-owned since 1976, trusted across northwest Arkansas, committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. Learn more or schedule service at hnrtireandauto.com. You can read all of our baseball coverage at wholehogsports.com. We'll be in here tomorrow talking basketball. Hope to see you then. Have a great day.